It will combat police brutality by requiring body and dashboard cameras, banning chokeholds, no-knock warrants in drug cases, and end racial profiling.
Why do you have to call it police brutality? I mean, that's leaning in a direction. And it's fine. Whatever. It's all politics. Like, everything's politics, right? So you got all these things that are being proposed that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, was proposing yesterday. Things like dash cams, body cams, no-knock warrants, racial profiling, chokeholds, national registry, all of this stuff. We'll talk about some of this with Chip Simmons. He is the chief deputy over the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, I am doing very well. Before we get to all of that, we do have some local news that we want to talk about a little bit. It seems like, I mean, we thought we were down on crime, you know, trending down, low calls for service. That's all good news. And then all of a sudden, the last day or two, we've had, what, three different shooting incidents around the county?
That's correct. Yeah, we had three different ones have been reported. One, I believe, remains in the hospital, but we've had one on Peachtree Commons Apartments about 10:30 p.m. on Sunday. It was a lady that reported being shot in the leg. I guess it went through both legs, and we are still the investigation is open, and we are asking if anyone has information, please let us know. In addition to that, we had a man that was reported hospitalized by a drive-by shooting in the area of Hancock Lane, which is in Brent. These injuries appeared to be non-life-threatening as family members drove him to the hospital, and that one also has been continues. And we asked if anyone has information on that one, please let us know as well.
Now just to pause here, Chief, on that right. Hancock one, do we know where the cross street was on that? Because that runs by Brown Barge School. I mean, not that school's in session or anything like that, but you know, I just kind of you don't know where that was on Hancock.
No, they just told me that it was in the area of Brent.
Okay.
Obviously, Hancock, right out Brent Lane.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And then the third one.
Yeah, the third one, we got a report of an unknown problem at the Circle K at 1905 East Olive Road. When we got there, we determined that the victims reportedly were pursued by two other vehicles from the Kipling Drive area, and there were shots being fired, according to witnesses. And then when we were searching for shell cases, we found a wrecked car in the North Cross Shopping Center. It also had bullet damage and a large amount of blood. Shortly thereafter, we responded to Westport Hospital because the victim walked into the hospital. He does suffer from a gunshot wound. And again, that one is also under investigation. We're still trying to determine what took place, whether it was drug-related, whether it was, due to some other sort of a personal vendetta. But that investigation is continuing as well. And again, as always, we ask that anyone that has any information, you can provide any details to what happened or certainly details as to who was involved, to please let us know. But just keep in mind that all of these, all three of these remain under investigation, and we're going to continue to do so until we have some resolution.
Yeah, and all three of them are in such different parts of the county. They're all very separated geographically. Is there any reason at this point to think they're connected, or had a statistically very odd day or two?
Yeah, no, we have no information at this point that they are connected, no.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. And are the, and I guess to differing degrees, but I know one of the problems that you and I often talk about is how witnesses and sometimes victims even are not particularly cooperative. It seemed from the reports I was seeing that has also been a pattern in these cases. Is that what you guys are seeing, that the people just aren't very willing to help?
That's correct. And one of them, we had a drive-by, one of them we reported was a drive-by shooting, but they were not able to or willing to give us a description of the shooter or the car itself. And in many cases, the information that we're getting is not, doesn't pan out, doesn't make any sense based on the evidence that we see.
All right. Well, very good. Obviously, we hope for resolution. We hope for people to be more cooperative as well. Turning now back to what we kind of introduced at the open, there's been a lot of proposals on the table for ways to reform policing. I know you've got the luxury of having been the police chief for Pensacola, and now of course, as the chief deputy for Escambia County. Let's talk about a couple of these suggestions. The first one is banning choke holds. I have said, and you please correct me if I'm wrong, I find, as somebody who studied martial arts for a little bit, choke holds are extremely valuable as a technique. What is the Escambia County Sheriff's Office policy on the use of choke holds?
Yeah, we do not have a policy that would determine whether you can use a chokehold in this manner or that manner, because we do not currently train to do the what is really called you call it a chokehold. But as you mentioned, you have to understand that when a deputy is in a fight, oftentimes this can be a fight for their life, and in that case, the deputy or anyone, any citizen, can use what I'll call an improvised weapon. So if you're being attacked, and the only thing close to you is a stapler or a phone or a frying pan, you could and should reasonably use these as weapons. And so my point is that if a deputy is in a battle or a fight for his life and someone's grabbing for their gun, I'm not going to say that you can't use whatever means necessary to survive that attack. And so, again, I have some thoughts and some reservations on immediately saying, hey, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. I think that you will put law enforcement officers at a disadvantage if you say that they cannot protect themselves by any manner necessary.
I mean, I understand the idea of if you have somebody subdued, but I'm talking about, like you say, I mean, if I manage to get myself behind a person and I can put a choke on them, that's going to happen, and I don't want to tell an officer they can't do that in that kind of a circumstance. No-knock warrants is another one that has come up. My understanding is that generally to serve a warrant, you have to knock, announce, and wait, and then you may enter if they do not respond. But no-knock warrants are rare, but when there's a real risk of some kind of violent encounter. Do I have that about right?
That's exactly right. As you know, Andrew, I have done probably hundreds of search warrants through my time in narcotics and on SWAT team. And as you mentioned, the overwhelming majority, in fact, practically every single warrant has the requirement that you knock, that you announce. And that is for, obviously, the people that are in the house, but also for the law enforcement officers that are, they're serving the search warrant. Typically, they go around to both doors. The no-knock aspect of a warrant, and we have done some in the past, many, many years ago. But if they're saying that they are, they shouldn't be used, and they're really not used. They're only used in cases where we know that there are guns involved. We have information that they have, somehow secured their house, and that any noise any knock and announce would compromise the investigation or the safety of the officers. And if the request is for increased judicial review on those, obviously I'm perfectly fine with that. But I will tell you that there are so few no-knock warrants. I don't know that that's a huge impact on law enforcement to do away with those. I would just suggest that you allow, again, for further judicial review before you just throw that out.
Chief, one of the next one of these Justice and Policing Act proposals is a federal registry for misconduct complaints. I have said I like this idea, quite frankly. It would prevent bad cops from being able to be rehired. What's your perspective?
I would not have a concern with that. I think that many people do not understand that there is already a statewide registry. Every time a deputy or a police officer is disciplined, that goes to Florida Department of Law Enforcement and their Standards Commission. I know that as a police chief, I signed many of these. Certainly whenever an officer is fired, you have to document in what capacity they were separated or terminated or even retired. You submit a form. And every agency that I'm aware of, certainly the ones that I had been involved in, do extensive background checks. So if someone was employed at another agency, we would know. And certainly whether they had a disciplinary concern or whether they were terminated, we would know that. If there's this thought that law enforcement agencies are hiring police officers and not doing a background check, having no idea what their previous record is, that is false. That is not anything close to what I've seen and what I've experienced at both the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and the Pensacola Police Department. And it also regards to the psychological exam. There are people who are saying that we need to do psychological exams before we hire police officers. That, of course, we do that. Every agency that I've been involved in, every agency that I'm aware of, they conduct these psychological exams, not just when they're hired, but also whenever that they're involved in a rather traumatic event, a shots fired event, or or they see an especially troubling, situation or crime scene, or if they're assigned to a sensitive assignment, then we have periodic psychological exams as well.
You know, it's interesting. One of the proposals, it's not in the one that the Democrats are proposing right now, but it is in the eight that can't wait sometimes, which is not shooting into motor vehicles when they're moving. I mean, I don't think that's a very common practice anyway, but I think of what happened with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, where they had to stop a guy who was coming at him with a dump truck at PSC in Milton not that long ago. So to say never, I mean, kind of like the chokehold, there are times when you have to do what you have to do. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And the policy says that shooting into or from a moving vehicle is generally not a good idea. But as I mentioned before, there are times you can't possibly create a policy that will cover every single scenario.
Right.
And so there are times when a deputy or a police officer has to take action. It's just that when they do so in an unusual circumstance like that, it is incumbent upon them to explain why. So, okay, you did this. What made you think at that time that was a reasonable and prudent measure that was taken? And these are things that law enforcement administrators and supervisors evaluate every single day, every single time that force is used.
Well, that is all very helpful perspective. Those are largely answers I kind of expected, but that's why I want to ask, because I always want to check against the experts and make sure my intuitions are right. Chief Deputy for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Chip Simmons. Chief, thanks for the time. Thanks for giving your perspective on this. And obviously, we appreciate the work you do to solve those shootings and just keep us safe in general. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Take care, Andrew.